chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So if you want to follow along in the Bibles, it's on page 1838. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Good morning. It's great to be with you today looking at this dense but beautiful passage that is deeply encouraging. I'm just going to pray again as we look at it. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us in giving us this part of your word. And we ask, Lord, that as we look at it, you'd help us to be certain of your return and certain of what you've done for us, so that we might live rightly as we await your return. Amen. Well, on the 23rd of June 2018, 12 boys in a youth soccer team and their coach walked into a cave in northern Thailand. As you do, I get it. I love caves. But after a while, heavy rain started to cause flooding inside the cave. So much rain, it blocked their way out. They were trapped in complete darkness. And in the end, over 10,000 people were involved in the rescue effort. Divers, police, and soldiers working flat out over many days to bring them out more than 2 weeks later. It's an incredible rescue. But imagine this. Right after being rescued, those boys started living as if they were still in the cave, pretending they were still in darkness, even though they were now free and in the light. They refused to turn the lights on. They huddled in tight spaces, afraid to move, as if the cave was still there. That would make no sense. Well, in our passage today, God's people have been rescued from a far greater darkness than a cave. The darkness of the wrath of God on the day of the Lord. Those in Christ have been rescued through the death of the Lord Jesus. So what would it look like to live in response to that rescue? Well, just like it would make no sense for those boys to live like they were still in a cave, it would make no sense for those who were rescued by Jesus to live like they still belong to the darkness. It wouldn't match who they are anymore. They are children of the light. Don't live in the dark. Those saved from God's coming wrath live as children of the light because it's who they are. Last week, Carl took us through the end of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Let me give you a brief background about this letter before we dive in. If you've got your Bibles open, in chapter 1, verse 1, we see that Paul wrote his letter to the church of the Thessalonians. This is a church that he started on his second missionary journey. And this was a church deeply changed by the gospel. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. Paul says, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power." The Thessalonians heard the gospel and believed it. And as a result, in verse 7, they became a model to all the believers in the surrounding region. Also, this church was facing intense persecution. In verse 6, it says, "For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering." And you can read more about the Thessalonian church in Acts 17. One of the issues that this church was facing was confusion about the second coming of Christ. Some of them thought that he'd already come, and so they were leaving their jobs. So what we're doing as we look at today's passage is we're listening in on Paul's instruction around this issue. Last week, at the end of chapter 4, Paul was instructing them on the state of believers who had died before the second coming of Jesus. Paul says, "Remember Jesus who died and rose? At the second coming of Jesus, those saints that have fallen asleep in him will also rise, and they will rise first, before those that are alive." And that brings us to our passage today, as Paul turns his attention to the day of the Lord. And what he's saying in essence in this passage is, don't worry about times and dates. The day of God's wrath is certain. Instead, know who you are and be who you are. Because Jesus has taken God's wrath for you already. So encourage one another in this. I'd like to encourage you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5 on page 1838. It is a beautifully rich and dense passage from Paul. I'd also recommend you use the outline today in your handout. It will be helpful just to see where we're going and where we've been. We're going to dive in and have a look. The first three verses, Paul addresses the coming day of the Lord. What we'll see is this day is coming, and it will come like a thief with no warning. In verse 1, Paul says, "Now, brothers and sisters." He's using family language to describe those in Christ. "Brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." So Paul is referring to a conversation that he must have already had with the Thessalonians. He says they're not to know times and dates because they know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. A thief doesn't let you know when they're going to break in. The day of the Lord will come suddenly for some. And before they know it, God's wrath will be poured out. In the Old Testament, the day of the Lord referred to a time when God would come and judge the wicked. And the language used is often quite vivid. There are a number of references to the day of the Lord. But listen to how it's described in Zephaniah chapter 1. "A day of inescapable anguish, darkness, and distress." Verse 14, "The great day of the Lord is near. Near and coming quickly." In verse 15, "That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom." And further ahead in verse 17, God says, "I will bring such distress on all people that they will grope about like those who are blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their entrails like dung." No one escapes. "Neither their silver or gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath." It's a vivid picture, right? And this is the day that Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians 5. Have a look in verse 3. "While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. My wife Mim is in her third trimester. She's doing an amazing job. But we know what's coming next. Labour pains are coming. They're inevitable. They can't be avoided. That's what Paul is saying the day of the Lord is like. It's inevitable, and no one escapes. And Paul's words echo that of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 24, Jesus speaks about the coming judgment, being like the days of Noah. In verse 36, Jesus says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." It is certain, it is sudden, and no one escapes. Paul says people will say peace and safety. They think everything is fine, but the reality is destruction will come on them suddenly. And we know this because by God's grace, he's revealed it to us in his word. For the Thessalonians, they were concerned that they'd miss this day, that it had already come. But I wonder if our era is a bit different to that of the Thessalonians. I don't know about you, but perhaps we forget this day is coming at all. Or maybe we don't want to think about it because we don't like it. Or maybe we're trying to work out when it will happen, to know the time and the date. But this is God's word. Paul says it will come like a thief in the night. Destruction will come on them suddenly. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be very distracted with what's right in front of me, here and now. Do you know that the day of the Lord is coming? Are you living like that day is real? What about those around you that are still under this judgment? Are you praying for them? Looking for opportunities to share your faith? Or does it matter more that things stay comfortable? The day of wrath is certain. So then, how should we live? How should we prepare for that day? Well, Paul says to the Thessalonians, they need to know who they are and be who they are. We need to know who we are and be who we are and live like it. So who are we? Who are the saints of God? Have a look in verses 4 and 5. They are children of the light. Paul starts with, "but you," and he's contrasting with what he's just said. He's talked about the destruction that will fall on those that are still in darkness on the day of the Lord. And then he says, "but you, brothers and sisters," again, family in Christ, "are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief." A thief generally does their work in darkness. But verse 5, "You are all children of the light and children of the day." This is an identity thing. This is who the saints of God are. To be children of the light and of the day means to be characterized by light and day. We are of it so that we belong to it. A couple of years ago, my wife Mim and I went to a showdown together in the AFL between Port and the Crows. Now, if you know me, you know I love Port Power. All of Mim's family are Crows supporters. So we borrowed my father-in-law's reserve seats, and we were sitting in the Crows members section. And there I was, in all my Port gear, the only Port supporter in the entire bay. Now, the risk paid off on this occasion. I think Port did pretty well. I don't know what I was thinking. And Mim hasn't been to a showdown with me since. But as I sat there, watching the game in the Crows members, I knew in my bones that I didn't belong. I'd infiltrated enemy ranks. I could feel it around me. I didn't want to cheer for the Crows' goals. I couldn't join in, because I didn't want to. Because I'm a Port supporter. If a child of the light is in the darkness, the place where anything goes, where sin is no problem, they will know they don't belong. The Holy Spirit will be deeply convicting them of sin, and their conscience will be affected. Have you ever had that feeling? For those in darkness, it's no problem. Anything goes in the darkness. Sin is not a problem. It's comfortable even. Are you trying to be comfortable in darkness? With sin? For the child of the light, you do not belong. As Paul says in verse 5, we do not belong to the night or the darkness. We aren't in the darkness because we are children of the light. So if we are children of the light, what does it mean to live like it? How should we live? And what we'll see is it means to be awake and sober, putting on faith, love, and hope. Look at verses 6 to 8. So then, Paul starts verse 6. Well, as a result of the fact that you're children of the light, not of the darkness, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Because we know that this day is coming, we stay awake and ready. And Paul uses the contrasting idea of what being of the night and of the day looks like. Asleep or being awake. Being drunk or being sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. So what should we do, being of the day? Paul says we put on faith in Christ, love for one another as Christ has loved us, and let's see if this fits, hope, okay, that we will receive salvation at Christ's return. Verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. I'm going to take it off now. In Ephesians 6, Paul uses the imagery of a soldier putting on armor before battle to show what it looks like to live the Christian life. We're dressed and ready for the fight. Paul says in Ephesians 6 that our real battle is spiritual, not physical. And then he says in verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. And the imagery is saying, if we're children of the light, we're to live out what we already are. We need not sleep through life, but be alert and ready, dressed for this day, ready for the day of the Lord. Even more, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, this is well before Jesus, what we actually see is God himself who puts on a breastplate and a helmet as he comes to bring salvation. It says in the first half of verse 17, he put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. And now Paul says, we put on faith, love, and hope because of what God has already done for us in Jesus, where he achieved salvation for us. We are dressed with the same salvation. Just like the Thai soccer team have been freed from the cave, it would be odd for them to continue living as if they were in it. If you've been rescued from the darkness, don't live in the dark. We're to put on faith, love, and hope. So in regards to your faith, where are you trusting something other than Jesus? Are you trusting in your own control of life? Are you trusting in the things that you have or your plans for tomorrow? None of those things are bad things, but are you trusting them? What about your love? Where is your love costly like Jesus's? Loving like that is hard and uncomfortable sometimes. Do you love comfort more than Jesus? And your hope. What are you living for? Paul says we're to put on faith, love, and hope because you are a child of the light. So why? Why should we live this way? And how come we get to call ourselves children of the light? Is that a result of our own impressiveness? Are we special for being children of the light? Is that because we're clever? No. Have a look at verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God did the appointing. He has placed us here. This is God's doing, not ours. We deserve wrath at the day of the Lord like all people because we have sinned and rebelled against the holy God. But what's God done? He's appointed us not to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something Paul has already mentioned in this letter. If you look back at chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the Thessalonians turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. How do we know that he rescues us? Look at verse 10 of chapter 5. It's a beautiful verse. God's wrath for his people has already fallen. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, Paul's used asleep to talk about those dead in Christ. So he's saying, whether we are alive or dead when he comes, we will live together with him. The result of his dying for us is that we will live together with him. Did you see that? His death is our life. What does that show you about what he's like? On September 11, 2001, a man named Rick Rescorla was a security officer in the World Trade Center. And when the first plane hit the buildings, instead of getting himself out, he organized an evacuation. He led thousands of people down the stairs to safety. And then Rick went back up to get more, but he never came out. Rick gave his life so others could live. Jesus died in our place so we could live. And more than that, he has taken the wrath of God for us. We've not been appointed to suffer wrath, it says. So where did the wrath go? It has been absorbed by the Lord Jesus. At the cross, Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath dry. It was poured out on him for you and your sin, for me and mine. There's nothing left. It's gone. It's empty. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah. What a Saviour. This is the Saviour we have. He's ours. So the day of the Lord brings wrath for some, but we will receive salvation because Jesus has already taken our wrath for us. The same Jesus who is coming again to judge is the Jesus we know now. We are children of the light and we know the light of the world. The Lord Jesus, the one who's brought us out of darkness in his death. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Lord Jesus is the light of life. Do you know him? Because if you do, you will be characterized by him as a result of his work in you by the Holy Spirit. You belong to the light because the light of life has died for you, for us, so that whether we are dead or alive when he comes again, we will live together with him. So what should the saints of God do when facing the day of the Lord? Have a look in verse 11. Paul says, therefore, as a result of what Jesus has done for us, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, Paul says, the Thessalonians are doing. And this is something Paul's already said at the end of chapter 4. Have a look. He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Paul wants the Thessalonians to encourage one another in the gospel. So who are you encouraging? Who are you reminding of the gospel? Or who knows your struggles well enough to actually be able to encourage you? Are you trying to live the Christian life on your own? This is something we're called to do together. Paul has commanded it twice. It's not optional. It's not just about feeding ourselves positive self-talk about the gospel, though that is a good thing to do, but we're to remind one another of the gospel. What has Jesus done for each of us? And build each other up as we await the day of the Lord.
The day is coming. The day of God's wrath is real. There will be a day when God's righteous wrath against sin is poured out. Do you know this? Are you living with this in mind? But for those who have received Christ, Jesus bore God's wrath for us already. So the day that brings wrath for some brings salvation for us. We're not in the dark cave anymore. And this day is not something to fear. We're appointed to receive salvation. God did that. We can't mess it up. We can't undo it. We're children of the light. We belong to the light. So put on faith. Trust in the faithful God. Put on love as he has first loved us. And hope, because we have been appointed to receive salvation. If someone looked at your life, could they see those qualities? We're not destined for wrath, but to live with Jesus. Be encouraged and encourage one another of what this means when Jesus returns. Those saved from God's coming wrath live as children of the light because it's who they are. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the challenge of this passage. Thank you that you show us that the day of judgment is real. Help us to live with that day in mind. We thank you for your amazing grace to us that Jesus has taken the wrath we deserve already. Help us to live with that day in mind as we await your coming and encourage one another of this. Amen.